Okay, so let's settle in. And if you could shift into your non-linear rounded space. So, what did you notice about the shift in the circle?
Felt the quieting and a kind of a dropping in.
Felt a settling.
So that's your language for knowing that the circle got lighter and brighter, less heavy. So, what does that tell you? How does it inform your life? So, like Carolyn, if you don't feel settled around someone, how does that inform you?
I think it would inform me to ground myself more, gather myself more. I kind of expand my sphere for some reason.
Well, no, you don't have to expand your sphere. Why would you do that? Depends on
Well,
what
I
your
guess I
intent
was
is.
thinking when I said that, I was thinking that maybe I didn't have it set enough to where it would enter into me.
So like building your immune system.
Yes.
Yeah, your energetic immune system.
Yes.
Okay. So it wasn't to be able to include the other person.
No,
So, okay,
no.
good. Okay. So, and then what do you know about the other person?
That they have heavy energy and they may not be as grounded.
Yes. How does that help you?
Well, I think when I'm around grounded people, it allows me to ground easier. So maybe there's an impact there. And also, what comes up for me is like having some compassion around that.
And then what happens for you then?
I feel just even saying that, I notice quickening in my heart chakra. Like a deeper connection and compassion for myself and humanity. It really gets me deeper into myself.
Thank you for demonstrating that.
Thank you for leading, Matt. That felt great.
So, just that little awareness of how you feel tells you a lot about how to navigate your life.
Sarah, would you mind saying that a little bit deeper? Like, I think I'm in the forest right now.
So, okay, hold on. So, when we notice whether we are grounded or are different degrees of grounded around different people and situations, and it reminds us first tells us what the energy is like around us and in us. And it's like a barometer. Okay, I don't feel so grounded right now. The energies around here might be ungrounded or heavy. So that means I just need to pay attention to my grounding more. And then when I can settle in, that beautiful feeling of having all that I need within me. And I'll take this where you took it. And it allows me to be centered while still having compassion for what I'm seeing around me.
Noticing that like was very moving to me, and at the same time there's this a little bit of anxiety and fear around it for some reason.
Well, that can often come up when the linear mind and conditioning sets that up as a standard or something to uphold all the time perfectly. And it's about practice and really. Practice, practice, practice. If we look at this, at the space between sensing ourselves as somewhat ungrounded and everything around us and the chaos and everything, there's a lot that gets thrown into the air around us. And so, between being somewhat grounded and then fully grounded and compassion arising, there's a whole lot of stuff that can come up, all kinds of anxiety and fear and conditioned responses and fear of judgment and all kinds of stuff. And that's what I call the rusty hinge. So when we really do go to ground and settle in all kinds of circumstances, there's just going to be a whole lot of material that can come up between the moment you realize that you want to ground and grounding. And it's like an if you do it enough times, you start recognizing. You start recognizing it. And I just go, oh, that's my rusty hinge. So I just have to, like wiggle the gate a little more and it'll open up. So you can let that sit. Okay, so keep shifting into your non-linear space. This shift is really important to become aware of. And this is part of being mature. It's mature, like handling your feelings and reactions and your thoughts and your body. This is energetic maturity. learning energetic maturity. So being able to sense when you shift from the linear mode, which in that realm is a ton of fear and anxiety. Sorry. And out of that realm, it doesn't exist when you're completely shifted out of it. So who is starting to become aware of what that shift feels like within them and being able to navigate it a bit. No one?
I can feel when I'm in it, I'm way up in my head and the energy is going out my head, and it feels, I don't notice it when I'm in it, but as soon as I make that shift, I can feel it go all from the top of my head and then start to drop in. And then, and it's like almost, I take this energetic breath, like I'm holding my breath, or I'm racing against time. And then I notice it, and it's like, and then it's just like, I can feel it sink down. And it was really apparent for me today. Like today was a challenge because I was going sort of device free. And then when I checked, I saw your note to me earlier, and I got completely conditioned and fell into an old pattern. Like, oh no, I didn't check my email. Like I'm behind. I need to be on this. And like, I was in my head for a while after that, and even at the beginning of this call, just sort of the pressure I felt, and like, oh, I gotta do the breakout rooms. I had no idea that was there. And so it really took me a long time to drop from that more deeply into my feet this morning.
But what a beautiful, clear experience.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew after I sent that, I said, I'm going to have to go take a rest. I was really tired. And I said, I know he's going to email me right after I go lie down.
Yep. It's like, oh no, I wasn't diligent. I wasn't on my email
right.
all morning. I'm not
right.
responsive. I'm that bad, the bad collaborator.
Right. Right. And then I said to myself, oh, well, we'll see what happens.
And then that's what I said to myself. Oh, well, we'll see what happens. We'll do it on the fly and that'll
right.
be fine.
Right. Exactly. So, yeah, but that was a beautiful description of that kind of shift. So thank you. Who else can see it now in themselves?
It's Renee. I can see it. I can feel it. And I've had the experience in this training of really feeling the weight of all the programming and very aware of it and feeling like I'm capitulating into it. And then in what I've learned over the years and in the last, 9, 10 days, is that the shift can be, it can happen pretty instantaneously. And I'm sorry, my dog just barked. I just got a little ungrounded, so I'm gonna just need a moment here. Sometimes it's a breath. I remind myself, oh, this isn't me. This is the old story. And I've also had the notion that being more grounded and more expanded is helping me realize how absolutely awful I feel and have felt living in the 3D programming mode.
Yay.
I've had the whole story. I'm the bad one. It has been so prominent for me in this training. And
It happened again this morning, and I'm just kind of being a little entertained by it and asking for an upgrade. You brought that practice out quite a while ago, Sarah, and it's been really helpful. But it's, I'm still moving through it. And the shift is not as challenging.
Wonderful. I know. That it, the experience of being free from 3D has been with me since I've been a baby. I came in like that. And that's why I just always look around the world and I say, how do people live like this? Just like, why? When there's such a different way of living. And remember, Fran, when we were working on the book of what was the name of it?
How can we live without this grounding? Yeah.
How can
Crowding,
you,
colon, yeah.
how can we live without this?
Yeah, I find that for me, it's such a beautiful awareness, and you stated it again a few minutes ago, which is that I have everything I need inside of myself. And of course, I only know that when I'm sufficiently grounded and within myself and still. And I do remember that when I'm not, and that is a powerful impetus to both reground, return to myself, and also to have a lot of compassion. Because the world is not filled with bad people. The world is filled with ungrounded people.
Right. Yeah, we've lost the teaching.
Sarah, hi, it's Kim. I feel like with this training, or even leading up to the training, that, and I spoke a bit yesterday about it with this soft and strong and sensing my sovereign self more often. And obviously, the roots of that is through grounding and Mother Earth and Father Sky. And there's a component that my being is able to recognize now, and it's around allowing self-love and self-respect to come forward more. And that this is a loving act to be in my groundedness and to be centered. And to speak from that place. And I think the repetition that we've been doing with the training, it feels better, it feels less scary. So again, it goes back to more of loving kindness, which I've had for others in a big way. And I feel like now this is, it's seeding itself through this training.
Nothing could make me happier
Thank
for you.
you.
Now that you in general have a sense of that self-love and how it's not a selfish kind of love, it's a state of wholeness. A flow. It's a state of love. It just brings about so much more compassion for those who don't feel it or know it.
I just it's Renee. I just had something come up about the vigilance that I, and I suspect many of us, live with that we don't even realize we're living with in 3D day to day. And when I'm in that mode, I couldn't imagine not being vigilant because the world seems like a scary place. And when I shift out of that, when I ground, and I'm trying to circle back to self-love with this, in a grounded state, I am so aware that, I mean, unless I'm living in a war zone, I really don't need that vigilance. And it's not self-love to be constantly vigilant in a context where it's absolutely not necessary. It's actually damaging. So I'm looking at self-love as making that shift into the grounded state and the expansion. It's a very different way of life.
Beautiful.
This is Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been practicing grounding for many, 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 many years. And there was a dynamic that kept me from staying in it when other people were activated in their own stuff. I think the hypervigilance certainly is a piece of it. And abandoning myself for the other, disappearing in my own being, was a big piece of that as well. And the shift that I've been feeling is that when I remember to come back to the connection with Earth, the connection to that vital life energy, that tethering back to that love, then I'm in my own sovereignty. And although I find myself losing myself, I'm able to remember the sacredness of this connection and come back into it. And that feels so whole. Thank you.
Beautiful. And that's the practice. Returning, remembering, returning, remembering. Until it becomes more consistent, more continuous, more time spent in that space. So there's many layers to grounding. And initially, yeah, we have to learn how to relax. The first stage of being able to ground is relaxing and releasing tension and stress and all that negative self-talk. So that's like the very beginning. And there's, it's a wonderful freedom, a wonderful shift to be able to make that change in how you live. And then there's the deeper and deeper experiences of grounding. So at first, it's a relief from misery, is what it seems like for people. And I would put it as a form of relaxation, of regulating the nervous system so it comes out of fight flight. And we, that vigilance that Renee was referring to is the experience of that fight flight, which we as a culture completely agree to. So once we can, and there's so much on the teachings all over YouTube and everything in the psychology realms and energy psychology about regulating your nervous system. And that's really very important. It's, we have to know how to get out of fight flight and into a balanced nervous system regulated state. So coming back to the idea of leading a group into a ceremonial circle, and I kind of started out with this. Every person that is going to come into a circle is going to come, I would say maybe 95% of them, it's going to come in fight flight. And you know how when I start a class, and this is what I want you to start noticing when I'm leading the classes, how I say, oh, we have a lot of heavy energy here tonight. Let's go through our grounding and getting the circulation going and relaxing the calves, relaxing the tailbone, connecting with the feet. That is more of a dimensional way of regulating the nervous system and stepping out of fight flight. And so on a multidimensional level, when we're in fight flight, the energy is really dense, really frozen. It's not circulating. It's overbearing. It's difficult to get through. You cannot see clearly at all. It's all projections. You're bouncing off the walls of your fight flight. So as we go, but I want you to take into account that when you're gathering with people in this Western culture, that 95% of the group will enter the group in fight flight. And how are you going to, where do you start? How do you guide? How do you recognize what you need to guide in order to even get through the first stage of grounding? And getting people to shift out of fight flight. And then secondly, how do you use your own nervous system, your own body, your own energy to try to regulate the group or someone else if it's only one person you're working with? How's that landing? Let's open that up. How are you going to access your inner resources? Your connection to Mother Earth, Father Sun, Sky, the nature spirits, the elements, the directions. To help bring a shift about so that some kind of light can start to open up in that darkness.
It's a beautiful shift for me because in the old pattern and programming, it was, oh no, like that person's dysregulated. So I have to work to regulate them versus, that person, even if they're not dysregulated, but just say just more generally ungrounded, I just have to work to ground and connect myself more deeply. And that's hugely different for me.
Mm-hmm. This is Cindy, and this is something I've definitely been watching and contemplating because personally and professionally, I've gotten so good at regulating other people. So I tried stepping back, and it's interesting, just recently a family member told me that I was not being nice to them, which I assure you I was plenty nice, but what I recognize is that my energy is no longer going out and regulating them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been an unexpected level that I need to find a place in myself to hold.
Anne, are you there? Sometimes he goes so far out, he's not there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
But I was far out.
Yeah.
I heard my name.
This might be a good time to share what we were talking about in terms and I'll introduce it. Can you do that now?
I think so. Introduce it.
Okay. So, you know how we spend time talking about what it's like to live with an ungrounded person and the challenges of that? I was talking with Ken, and I said, maybe you could share from the perspective of the ungrounded person living with a grounded person and what that brings up for the ungrounded person.
Yep.
And I think that would be very helpful to hear.
Okay, and we're going to pretend that I'm the ungrounded person.
We're going to just pretend, right? Okay.
It presents a number of challenges to me because I'll start with this. We had a friend who, you know, said he likes to go to Sarah for advice because 99% of the time she's right. And I said, no, she isn't. I said, she's right 100% of the time. And so what that means is, where do I fit in to the relationship as someone who's not always grounded, who I'll say, because of it, isn't as aware of my surroundings and the subtle nature of things, the subtle energies going on. And so I defer to Sarah, and sometimes that can be very uncomfortable because I'm not sensing what she's sensing, and yet I trust, because she's grounded, that what she's sensing is correct. And like I said, it is usually correct. And so I have to, so I take my own feeling about myself, my own feelings about a situation, and I put them in the background and trust Sarah's interpretation and not mine as much. And that's kind of an issue with me, because I'm putting myself on a lower rung, and saying, well, I'm not seeing what I'm seeing, I'm not hearing what I'm hearing, you know, things like that. And so I have to adjust to that, because I do have kind of a strong, I don't know if you call it ego or what, feeling about myself. And that can be hard. So when we're on the grounded end and somebody's ungrounded, I think we have to have compassion and understanding for the other person who's not as grounded. And, you know, that they're self-identity maybe being shattered or whatever. That's actually, I haven't used that phrase before, and that sounds right. So it's humbling, and it also, you know, with me, it's a challenge. Okay, I better be grounded, so I'm kind of in the same sphere, and I'm seeing the same stuff. Here we go. What else would you like me to say, Sarah?
Yeah.
Did that resonate right with you? I mean,
you don't have to ask me. Wait, what else do you have that you would like to share? Oh, how about feeling abandoned, like Cindy kind of described? Do you feel that?
Well, I mean, in general, you know, I mentioned this to you too, that because you're grounded, I feel a sense of real safety, you know, around our space. So that's one thing. And then the abandonment stuff, I mean, that's kind of like we're looking at life from different places. You know, if I'm ungrounded, you're grounded. I feel you're not there with me at the space that I'm inhabiting, you know.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which I've come to understand a lot, you know. So, I mean, one reason is I can adjust better now and say, okay, time to get grounded. I must be ungrounded. So I take on the challenge. And it's, I'm aware of it. I mean, when we met, I was aware of this, you know, that we were coming from very different places, recognizing subtle energies. So, or being able to identify them, you know. I also recognize we have a heck of a lot in common in that respect, because I do react to subtle energies, but I can't identify them a lot. So certainly when I ground myself, I can start identifying them, and it's easier to share space together. So, and I appreciate the fact that you remain grounded in spite of me, my presence, and just, you know, it creates a safe space, creates one in which I can now ground safely, okay? The fact that I'm aware that, you know, that grounding is part of it is a big deal, because most of the people that we're with, you know, don't even know what the word grounding means and have no concept of it. So, there.
Okay. And you can add more as things come up. And so Ken, speaking from a perspective of having been in 38 years of grounding classes, and so you can just imagine, and Cindy's example was very good too, what the person feels like if they're not grounded and aware and you are. So how is this landing?
Well, kind of, first of all, I wanted to thank you for sharing that with all of us. It's landing nicely, but I was going to ask a question. Like, can we, like, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but how does that shift for you in the moments or the times when you feel very grounded or much more grounded? How does that feeling or does that shift in your being? Can you speak to that maybe?
Relative to my relationship to Sarah or?
Yes, to Sarah, basically.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, it's a different relationship. It's just a perfect connection and a harmony It's really evident, really evident. When we, quote, meet on the same playing field, you know. Is that what you're talking about? Is that your question?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, you kind of said, like, you know, you feel like you're on a lower rung and, you know, some verbiage around that. So I just was wondering if you could just, yeah, you captured it pretty perfectly. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah, true. It's very different. So, yes, my goal is to be grounded, even though I'm not thinking of it all day, every day, nor am I grounded all day, every day. But yes, it's a beautiful feeling when we harmonize like that.
Thanks again for opening up about it.
Sure. Yep.
Anything else coming up?
Sarah, I can share. Thank you, Ken, for sharing. And I recognize that part of myself that is so good at abandoning myself and saving everyone around me. So my habit and inclination is to save this person, but I'm really bumping up more than ever that I don't want to give up this new place of being fully grounded and present. I can't. I was too exhausted before. And right now I'm feeling that tension within.
When you get to that place where you say, I'm not going to give it up, you don't give it up. You can tell a switch goes on and you're just going to keep going in that direction. So this is all in bringing to your awareness how deeply ingrained people are in fight, flight, and dysregulation. And again, to be very aware of this when you come together to guide or lead any kind of ceremony. So, what have you seen that I've done to address that even before the ceremony begins? The class or the session or whatever. What have you seen me model?
Sarah, this is Trish. Mm-hmm. You started years ago with me, and then I also saw it in all the classes I've taken with you. And actually, once you said it to me, a lot of people just need to be heard, and they're contained. They're stuck in that flee and flight. And you'll usually say something like, well, okay, let's get grounded. And then you'd ask me or anybody else a question, or in this case, when we're in this class, you ask for check-in. Mm-hmm. And usually everybody starts to say something, and that helps to move them forward, to allow there to be flow again. And so the talk is important too. It's not just, I know you want it to come from a more grounded place. We all do. But sometimes that person, whoever you're talking to, just needs to kind of vent a little bit. And then the flow starts to, like, releases the valve a little bit. So then they can start to get flow and ground more. And so it's the only thing you haven't said that I'm noticing, that you haven't spoken to the importance, and also the importance of sometimes it's important to say to somebody, not necessarily in a group or sacred circle, but or the importance just of talk and how it frees up some of the energy that's stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love how you brought out the what a gift being listened to and heard is.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. Nobody has heard anybody because they're all grounded. So nobody really wants to listen to you. Mm-hmm. So if you just ground yourself hard and maybe ask a leading question, they usually start to, you know, that releases the valve, and then they start to get flow. And through the moment, if you just stay in your grounded state, through the moment, it starts to shift. And then maybe I'm talking to somebody who actually knows about grounding, I'll say something like, do you feel how you're getting flow going again? Can you feel your feet? Can you feel your seat? And when they answer those questions, then that throws their attention to their feet and to their seat. Mm-hmm. So I do not do any of this professionally. I'm just speaking personally from talking to a friend who is two friends that are very much, they're 10 years my senior. And, you know, I think it's hard because they don't get out much. They don't get to talk to their friends much, if their friends are even still alive. Mm-hmm. You know, they're 85 years old. It's not so easy. So I don't know. Right. That's just my thing, is that I haven't heard. You said at one point I don't remember what day, but you said at one point that it was important for a person to also address things psychologically. Mm-hmm. You didn't suggest, though, that you suggest sometimes, you know, perhaps you'd want to see a counselor to address some of the stuff that's making you flee or flight. Mm-hmm. And that the relationship between holding the ground and the flow and, oh, I don't know, I'm rambling now, but you get the point. That's all. I just wanted you to speak more to that, because it helps to reaffirm me and what you've taught me over the years. But I think it's a really important part. And I know a lot of people, a lot of people deal with people on a personal, on a business basis too. And maybe Renee can speak to it.
Okay. I want to.
I'll let you go. You go. I'm done.
So, but that's a very important piece. And actually, when we get to the practice sessions, one of the things that I want people to practice in those sessions is practice grounding and holding sacred space while listening.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But what I want you to remember and bring out here, what did I have you do leading up to this training?
Are you asking me that question personally?
Everyone. Oh. Yeah.
Well, but for me, you gave us a lot of reading material, mm-hmm. which I think jolted it into this space more. Mm-hmm. For me, that's what I saw. And I can't remember if you told me to do something. I'm not a very good student. Sorry. Sorry. But I don't know.
You guys all had a practice for a week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, Sarah, I actually, I didn't make that 2 weeks, but I think you're talking about the deepening relationship with the elements and those experiential moments in grounding as well as through our lives. And I yes, yeah. So that was it's a beautiful thing.
Okay, so, and then what do I have people do before a session?
But I was going to speak to, unlike anybody else or any group or individual, is having, you know, the sort of the pre-grounding experience or the pre-settling in experience, whether it's an individual session or even, you know, I think that's kind of your recommendation for everyone on the Monday night class as well. And then when we enter, it's also the beautiful thing I experienced is the silence. When we enter the space, that we don't have videos on, so there's not a lot of visual distractions, and there's not a lot of that nervous banter back and forth, or there's no chat enabled for, you know, little messages and things like that. So it's a real invitation, or maybe even more than an invitation, to really start to quiet and settle in, which is just profoundly beautiful to me.
So there's ways of preparing the space beforehand to start the process of releasing the fight flight. Now, on my end, what I'm doing personally is making sure that I am in the frequency of the session or the class. And I'm attuned to it. I've been attuning to this training for 3 years. I've been attuning to the frequency of this training for 3 years. When I set up the classes for the year, I'm in communication with the teachers. That's how I download the classes. I am in total immersion with the frequencies of what's going to come through in a class. And I am learning it, embodying it, and becoming it first. I don't speak anything if I haven't embodied it first. So every year for the last 3 years, I wanted to put up this training. And I stopped because I knew I wasn't there. So it's not that I'm doing anything to influence or manage the energies of the people coming to the class. I am embodying the class and making it so that I'm living it. I'm living the teachings of the class before a class begins, and in like a 6 week session or something like that. So that is part of the preparation too. And this is what I learned from my Sufi teacher. I've learned things from different teachers, but this was a primary teaching and mastery that he had me go through. And it's a rigorous level of integrity. So there's the practices and suggestions I give before a class meets, how to prepare to enter the class, and my frequency for the class that all go into the powerful transformational energies, how those all come together for the class. So I'm also working with the illuminated beings who are, we are in a gathering, like, you know, like the Ohio State Stadium. Maybe there's 100,000 or more light beings here with us today. And all of that goes into these experiences. How does it land with you? I mean, is it like, oh, this is just too much work? Or is it, this is what I want to do?
Sarah, for myself, this is the part I think that kept me initially away from taking this course. And after yesterday, is still working through and integrating, but I think part of the process of knowing if you're ready to do this is whether or not you have the ability and capacity within your being to reach these levels that you're discussing, and so that nothing is created by me. And that's up to spirit to help me get there if I'm meant to get there. But if I'm not there, that's not something that I would ever consider forwarding, I mean doing, going forward and doing. So to me, that's, you make the offering of yourself as far as sacred ceremonies, and then you work at it, you practice, and it's up to spirit to help guide you to that place if it's really meant to be.
Beautifully said, Lisa. And I say this to you, not, I say this to the group, not to make it look hard, because it's a passion and a direction guided, but you can't hear this in the linear mind. You have to open up to the non-linear space to hear what I'm saying. And Lisa, you were able to express that. You express that you understand that you will be guided and helped and supported into your version of whatever is supposed to grow from this. And so we're spanning a huge continuum of, I'm offering some really practical information, and the perspective of a very mature spiritual approach that's very sobering. Keep using that word. It's sobering. Because it's not known. Well, the people who know something about this are ones who have mastered something, a craft, an art, a sport, to a very high degree, and what that takes. And they do that out of some kind of inner passion. Inner guidance. And I'm speaking about it to help awaken it in you. Because you wouldn't be here if that wasn't in you. You've been moving towards this class for 3 years. And we all finally came together.
Sarah, this is Elena. And thank you for sharing the process, go through what really lit up for me in hearing all of that is that you embody the teachings yourself first, that you're living them. And I've noticed that in Monday night class and examples that you will bring through from your life. And I experienced that hold on. In hearing that, I am recognizing in myself that I have this relationship in terms of embodying my own experiences and how that becomes a very fertile place for compassion within me. Yeah, I think that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. So you've heard the term to not throw pearls before swine. In the mystical world, that is not sharing teaching with people who are not fertile to receive them. And that means being fertile means you're not stuck in the 3D space, that you're able to shift out of that into your heart, into your fullness of being, to really hear not just with the mind.
So in my life, if I'm doing songwriting or a video, sometimes sports, I become fully immersed before I do it and while I'm doing it. And is that different than what we're talking about?
I would say it's a version of it in those areas. So you can tell that you shift modalities in your being, how you're relating to the activity.
Right. And so I would think that we all have something that we, you know, shift our focus into something greater before we begin it while we're doing it.
Sarah, to answer the question myself, I don't feel a sense of overwhelm. What I notice is seeing events, seeing my calendar, and being in at a Ketan Kriya concert or being on a rafting trip, these different things that I know I'm going to be engaged with, and the imagination of experiencing that in this sacred way, so that there's an excitement, anticipation around that, and then at I also noticed earlier like a little bit of willfulness, like, you know, pushing towards it, but having no clue how to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it helps to ask permission to enter the sacred space of a physical location or a consciousness.